Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How's everybody doing? I hope you guys are doing well. Today's Wednesday. It's my favorite day of the week, and I want to say happy Passover to those of you who celebrate the holiday. I hope you're having a beautiful Passover. Today I have a really cool guest. Her name is Dr. Donna Marks, and she's an author, and we're going to be sharing from her new book, which is available for pre-purchase. It's being released sometime this month. It's titled The Healing Moment, 7 Paths to Turn Messes into Miracles of Love. So she's going to join me in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the book, and we're going to talk with her. To my regular peeps who join me each week and listen to my show on a regular basis, thank you so much for being with me every week. I really appreciate it. I love getting your messages that you enjoy the show and that you like the guests that I feature. It makes me very happy to hear that. And for those of you who are new and this is your first time listening to my show, I want to say welcome. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope that you return. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I am an author, an artist, a photographer, and I also have a book, and it is titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, I feature 30 manifesting stories along with photographs that I took of the contributors' manifesting postcards. And a manifesting postcard is similar to a vision board. Many people are familiar with vision boards. So we do, I do smaller postcards and have people send them to me. And in the book, I also have a bunch of writing exercises, and it helps everyone get clear on what it is that they want to manifest, because we're not always really sure exactly what it is. We just know there's a feeling we want. You know, we want more happiness, more joy, more love, more abundance in our finances. So we get, I get into, you know, helping us get really clear about it, how what it is and how to bring it into our lives. And I have a whole bunch of fun exercises in the main areas of our life, like love, money, health, career, and so much more. So if you're interested in reading people's incredible journeys of transformation and inspiration and their manifesting stories and doing some exercises, you can find my book at your favorite bookstore, or you can get it online. I always ask people to send me manifesting postcards. So if you want to know how to make one and you're like, what is she talking about? If you go to my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com, I tell you how to create a manifesting postcard and where to send it. The address is listed on there. So please think about what it is you want to bring into your life and send me a postcard. If you're on Facebook and you like groups that are nice groups that post things that are sweet and funny and uplifting, I have a group called Postcards of Love, and you can join me over there. So each week I take a postcard and I create a photograph on it, and I call it my magical message. I like to release them on Mondays, and I post them on my social medias, and it's usually a manifesting postcard that I received or something that has an affirmation, and I photograph it because I like to focus on affirmations. I do affirmations daily. I think they're very powerful, and for it to become new beliefs in our lives. So this week's magical message is, do your best, right? So what does doing your best mean? Doing your best, right? That's all we can do is do our best. First of all, don't compare yourself to anybody else. That is a black hole that you do not want to go into, because it's only going to make you feel bad about yourself. You know, so what motivates you and inspires you, you know? And are you doing that to live the life where you want to have peace and contentment? In your life, do you lead by example? Are you showing others your kindness, your compassion, your empathy? Are you forgiving person? To bring joy into the world by living your passion. That's a way to do your best. Whatever your passion is, are you doing that for yourself? Living each day to the fullest and appreciating each day as it comes. Are you enjoying your friends and your family? Are you supporting them? Because that's a way to do your best. Are you embracing your talent, whatever your talent is? You know, are you living that? Or is it something that you're thinking, oh, I'll just do that at another time. I got to pay bills, you know? Or you're missing out on your passion in your life that inspires you. Are you treating others the way you want to be treated? I always try to do that, not always successful, but I do try, at least I'm conscious of it, so that's something, right? And I want to be remembered as somebody who, is offering something to the world, offering some peace and love and compassion. And I try to look at my challenges and my failures as stepping stones in my path so that I can fulfill my purpose. And I try to grow from them and not beat myself up too much when I don't always do my best, but all I can do is try. And I want to approach my life with happiness and laughter and joy and love, and to lead by example by being loving and caring. And of course, personally, to touch the world with my art, which is an outlet for me to express and my feelings and what I'm thinking about with everybody else. So that's just some food for thought for today. So just try and do your best. That's all you can do. All right, so next week I have Nicole Kerr, and we're going to talk about her book called You Are Deathless. And Kerr shares her personal journey about her near-death experience and awakening to herself and her personal transformation work that happened after this experience. So it's going to be really interesting. But today I have a wonderful guest, and I'm really excited to talk to Donna about this. Her name is Dr. Donna Marks, and she is a licensed psychotherapist and addictions counselor. She's also a certified gestalt therapist, psychoanalyst, hypnotist, sex therapist, and she teaches A Course in Miracles, along with sharing her methods with hundreds of thousands of listeners on podcasts and radio shows. Are you ready to emerge from your cocoon but struggle with pseudo comforts like food, drugs, technology, and relationships that are no longer working? Are you ready to listen to the voice of love rather than the voice of fear? If you said yes, then this is when the healing moment occurs, when you decide to flip your internal switch and finally let light flood into your consciousness. In The Healing Moment, Seven Paths to Turn Messes into Miracles of Love, Dr. Donna Marks integrates psychology, personal experience, and A Course in Miracles to teach people how to use their traumas and pain as the doorway to enlightenment and happiness. The seven paths that Dr. Marks introduces can help turn negative experiences and mistakes into meaning and purpose. Triggers like a lack of love, respect, trust, and more can be transformed by understanding how the mind uses our own fear to manipulate our lives. This is your sign to choose to open your awareness to the voice of love and experience your own healing moment. And to find out more about her and what else that she's written, some other books, and check out Donna, you go to www.drdonna, D-O-N-N-A, Marks, MARKS.com. Welcome, Donna. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you.
I'm so excited to talk with you. I'm very fascinated by A Course in Miracles. And I have the book. I've read the book. And it's deep. It's very, very deep. So it's interesting how you're using A Course in Miracles to help people and dealing with their traumas and everything. And you incorporate that in this book, The Healing Moment. So why don't we ask? I'll have a two-part question. Okay. What is the healing moment? And maybe you can share the the easiest way to explain A Course in Miracles for those who have never heard what it is?
Okay, well, I'll talk about the course first because that's how I discovered the healing moment.
Okay.
And A Course in Miracles is a course that teaches us how to see things through the eyes of love rather than the eyes of fear. And it explains that every person has two parts. One part is spiritual and one part is ego. And that ego develops as a result of having traumatic experiences. And consequently, we see only the past. We stay stuck there. So we're always afraid of taking risks or of looking at something in a positive way or having hope and faith and things like that because the fear jumps in and says, well, what if this happens and what if that happens and who do you think you are and things like that. Along the same lines that you do, we can manifest miracles, but they first start in our mind. And before we can do the, postcards to the universe, we have to want to fulfill our purpose. And our purpose is to share and receive love, and then all else things come into place. The healing moment is when we switch from that voice of fear over to the voice of love. And we have that aha experience. And it's particularly compelling when we're suffering. When we're suffering, if we could say, there's got to be something positive in this. Let me see it. Let me accept it. Let me embrace it. The healing moment turns that mess, no matter how bad it is, into a miracle. First, by changing our mind about how we see it. And second, manifesting peace and joy instead of pain and suffering.
Yeah, because in the courses, there's only two things, that love and fear, and fear is not real. And anything that is not loving is coming from a sense of fear.
Yeah.
Because most people think it's love and hate, but it's not hate because fear is the real cause because we only hate something because we don't understand it and we're afraid.
Hate covers up our fear. You know, it's more comfortable being angry and hateful or guilty, as the Course says. But those things, guilt doesn't change anybody's behavior ever. It just makes you do it more or do something else to cover up the fear. So guilt doesn't work, and neither does anger and hatred and all that. It just energizes all negativity, and that serves no purpose for anyone, especially ourselves. So when we can recognize that what I'm really dealing with here is fear, which is difficult for people to do, especially men, because they've been conditioned, you're supposed to be brave and courageous and all.
Sure.
But nobody can be truly courageous until they face their fear and walk through it.
Right. That's true. So the healing moment is when we realize that we start living our lives through love, even if we are afraid. Being courageous is being, even if we are afraid, we still act in loving ways, correct?
Well, the healing moment is that aha experience.
Okay.
That instead of being at the effect of everything that seems to be going on around us, you can take, I work with addiction, I work with trauma, I work with families who have an addicted child or addicted relative. I work with people who are suffering from the ending of a relationship. I mean, all kinds of, child abuse. And, I experienced most of those things myself. And what happens with the healing moment is that we access a part of ourselves that is enlightened instead of the fear and the anger and the guilt and all that. And we are willing to accept that there's another way of experiencing the unpleasant experience and turning it into a miracle. I could give you an example. The poor me, why am I addicted and why am I addicted to so many things turned into the miracle of, I didn't feel loved. I didn't even know what it meant, and I was railing at God one night, and it came to me that, it's not me that doesn't love you. You don't love yourself. So that was one of my healing moments. I've had many. Uh-huh. Or when parents who are dealing with an addicted child and they won't let go, they're afraid and they're scared and they're guilty, we must have done something wrong or our child wouldn't be homeless or we can't let our child be homeless because, that they might die. And so they clamp on and they continue to enable and continue to keep the child stuck in the addiction rather than facing it and coming up with a plan with that person and saying, you know, we realize that we love you so much, but we've been showing you love in the wrong way, and we want you to have your life, and we're going to support you getting that life back. So going forward, things will be different. And then you come up with a plan for how things will be different. And hopefully everyone will agree. It's different than an intervention. It's really coming right. from pure love and pure support rather than fear support and guilt support.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. So what inspired you to write The Healing Moment?
Well, COVID had happened, and I'm a psychotherapist, and people started canceling a lot of appointments. So rather than I had a healing moment about all that, I did not experience fear with COVID. My healing moment was that this is nothing to fear for me personally. And so I got up and I went to work, and people were canceling. And so another healing moment happened right away that I got the message, you need to change your practice. So I started changing my practice, and just from doing individual therapy to offering concierge therapy, which works with a whole system. And I work with just two or three people at a time because they can invite anybody into the therapy that they want to participate, and then for 1 month at a time. So it's very intense and intensive, and including, you know, 1 or 2 days of intensive work plus regular therapy after that. So that was one healing moment that I had during COVID. The second was, you need to write a book about how to apply concepts of, like, A Course in Miracles, how to apply an integrated way of helping people to understand that no matter what they're going through, they can change their mind about it, but they have to access that part of them. It's not religion. Religion has its place, and I'm not anti-religion at all. It's just that we've learned to look outside, out there, for answers rather than the God within. And we all have that communication within us through our Holy Spirit to be able to access and receive information. So during COVID, during the shutdown, I wrote the book. It took about 3 or 4 months. Then I had it professionally edited. And here we are.
Right, here we are. Yeah, a lot of people, that's funny, that I've interviewed have written a book during COVID, right?
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, it is interesting. I think a lot of people did. I think for those of us that are doing this kind of work already on a regular basis, sort of took the opportunity to do a little self-reflecting, right? And said, what can I do instead of watch the news every day and freak out all the time about how the world is ending? That's the way they make you feel, right? When you watch the news. So a lot of us went inside and started shifting the way we did our work. And I did that too. And the way I photographed changed and a whole bunch of stuff. And same deal. I did a lot of writing during COVID. You talk about, that there's two voices that run in our heads all the time. We have, like, you know, one says one thing and one says the other. So can you share with us, like, what that means, that for most of us that have those two voices running in our mind all the time?
Well, most of us don't realize that we are driven by fear. We do and don't do just about everything based on fear. If I don't do this, I'll get into trouble or there'll be a negative consequence. Or if I do this thing that I shouldn't do, then, I'll regret it. So we just kind of fluctuate in that fear zone all the time, and we don't even realize how we are being externally and internally controlled by the voices of fear. So what the key here is recognizing that if you're not listening to the voice of love, the voice that is saying, you can do this, This, and I mean in a positive way. I don't mean, you can do the negative things that are going to harm you.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
you have a calling. We all have a purpose and a mission. And so when we embrace that voice, and also just in all our personal relationships, we don't say things because we're afraid. And then when we do say them, they come across as angry and attacking instead of having a loving loving conversation and a loving relationship. That's why people don't talk, is because they don't come from love when they're talking. they get right. in arguments, and even that's okay as long as you clean it up with, I love you. I didn't mean it to come out like that. But to be able to have, you know, that authentic connection with yourself, number one, and then with other people, because you know who you are, you know what you are, and you know how to say what you want and what you need and what you can offer from that place of love.
I just had an aha when you said that we're almost every decision we make is coming from fear. And if you think about it, and you know, guys listening right now, what she's saying is think about your life and the things you don't say to people, the things that you say yes to that you really want to say no to because you just don't have the bandwidth internally to do it, right? Why do we do that? So much of our lives is controlled by our fear. I think that's probably why we people get so much out of when you're with your animals, because it's such a loving, easy relationship, you know, that there's no fear attached to it when you're loving on your dog or your cat or whatever pet you have. And probably why people love being in love, because you know, when you first fall in love, it's all about the love. You're not in the fear yet. You haven't gotten to that point yet. So that's probably
exactly.
why people it just dawned on me when I was listening to you.
Well, even in the field of podcasts and writing books,
mm-hmm.
If you start that, you're going to get a wave of negativity. There's too many of them. There's too much competition. Mm. You can never do this. You can never do that. You know, plan on this and plan on that. And it totally ignores that there's a divine process going on to support each one of our missions and dreams. And when I wrote The Healing Moment, I had already written a couple of other books that I had self-published, and they were doing okay, but it was true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did not really have the time to properly market, nor did I know how, and I had a lot of mm-hmm. learning experiences, spending unnecessary money hiring people. But the universe did a very interesting thing, and I'll share this story with you. I had been in a jewelry store to repair a necklace that had broken, and while I was there, the jeweler said, "You should meet my wife. She's in a similar business than you," and I took that as a clue. My mm-hmm. internal voice of love said, reach out. So we had lunch, and we did like each other. But then a year later, I heard from her again, an apology. You know, COVID happened. I've been in shutdown and all this, and let's have lunch again. And she said, how's your book, Exit the Maze, doing, which is about how to easily get out of addiction. And I said, it's doing really well, and la, 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 la. And she said, oh, you should meet my publisher. I mean, you should meet my book agent. She works with several publishers. And I said, oh, really? So she did the introduction, and we signed a contract, and she found a publisher that not only published The Healing Moment, but also published Exit the Maze. But that's how it works. It cut through all that negativity, all that fear, all those things, all those illusions that say, this can't happen, you can't do it. And it's very exciting. It's very exciting. If you believe in yourself, I submitted my book to like 30 different book awards and won 27. So we get those messages of what to do and how to proceed. And if we act on them from love instead of fear, the universe will do the rest.
Yeah, I so agree with you. I never thought about it as fear and in the sense, I always just figure like, just do it anyway. If you're doing what you like, who cares? Like I always say to myself, who cares? Just do it anyway. Yes, there's a million books in the self-help. Yes, there are. I know it. But just do it anyway because I like doing it.
Exactly.
and see what happens.
And if it helps one person, it was worth it.
Exactly.
If one person manifests their dreams based on what you're sharing with them, it's worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if one person reads The Healing Moment and starts to learn how to shift their pain and their trauma to joy and happiness, then it's worth it. Then you did what exactly. Yeah,
what if every tree that was going to drop a seed said, well, I don't want to drop any seeds because what if they don't grow? Well, if one seed drops, you know, they start growing. So.
It's good. Yeah, that's true. I love that. How do we shift? Like, how do we become self-aware that we're leading in fear and not love? And you talk about it as being programmed, you know, so how do we shift that to love?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that we're stuck. And that we want something to change, and we keep expecting it to change. And the healing moment is when we recognize that, when I recognize I need to change. That's the healing moment. I need to change my own actions, my own, adjust from fear into love, or to even just adjust my attitude or my perception of things. So that's the key right there. Rather than saying the world is wrong, the country is wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, I need to work on me. That's my job. That's my mission here, is to manifest my own healing.
So being aware of our thoughts and the words that come out of our mouth, I guess, would be a very good indicator, if you're wondering. If you're leading your life, I mean, you know, we're going to get into, because we're going to be coming up to a commercial here in just a few seconds, but we're going to get into the addictions and all that stuff. I mean, that's an obvious clue. If you're turning to these other things to numb yourself out, then something's going on. We know that. But sometimes it's just the thoughts in our head and we're completely clueless. You know, we have no idea that we're always so negative and nothing's working out, because all we keep saying is nothing ever works for me, right? People say that all the time. Well, you know, nothing ever works for me. Well, you keep believing that, then you get to be true. That gets to be true for you in your life.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
And it's always an inside job. And the older I get, the more I realize that, and the more I focus on healing what is going on inside of me. So I want to take our break now, because I have more questions I want to ask you, and I don't want to interrupt you in the middle of a question. So guys, stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement, where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga, and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
And welcome back. So if you're just joining me, I have a licensed psychotherapist and author, Dr. Donna Marks, with me today. And we're talking from her new book, which is being released this month, called The Healing Moment, Seven Paths to Turn Messes into Miracles of Love. So I was thinking, Donna, during the break, how do we take control back over our thoughts and our lives?
Right, the same way that I described earlier, is to recognize that we always have those two parts of ourselves. And, you know, I can tell that this can be a little, it's very simple, but sometimes the mind resists it. So we have two parts. We have the part where the fears reside. And then we have the other part where there is no fear. It's just love. And so the part where the fear resides, if we feel stuck or our life isn't moving or we're suffering, we're trapped there. Now, I'm not saying that someone should never be in pain. That is ridiculous.
Of course.
Things happen that are painful. Mm-hmm. And if we're human, we're going to feel that pain. But many times people get trapped there. We get trapped in our childhood pain. We get trapped in the pain of betrayal, which is inevitable if you're out there living life. We get trapped in the ending of relationships. We get trapped in the pain then. We can get trapped in the pain of distrust. I mean, there's just it's just a constant dead-end street that we find ourselves. So when we are not happy, and by the way, we can learn how to be happy no matter what's going on, but that's the end goal. It's a process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen, you know, instantly. You can instantly get relief, but learning how to get that relief every time you're stuck or trapped takes a lot of practice. And the challenges tend to get a little more challenging, just like anything else. You know, if you're playing the piano, you get more and more difficult pieces to master. So we are able, you know, this is a school. This is the school of learn how to love, play, and have a good time. And do your thing, you know, manifest a good life. That's why we're here, to share and receive love. So, but most of us get stuck in this imaginary trap and drama. Mm-hmm. And so when we're not happy or we are suffering, which is different than just going through human pain, when we are suffering, then we can ask that part of ourselves to guide us out of that. And we will get messages. It will say, let go. It will say, why don't you try something new? Why don't you open up? How about forgiveness? How about releasing? How about giving yourself permission to cry and get your pain out? Mm-hmm. How about being willing to trust again? All these kinds of things. And it will even, as we discussed earlier during COVID, many of us, yourself included, instead of being at the effect of this imaginary crisis, and I'm not saying it wasn't a crisis, but how it affected us personally did not have to be a crisis. Of course, some of us lost some dear friends. It was very, very sad and painful, but that's not what I'm talking about. How to individually take control of how we are perceiving our lives and what we are manifesting. And even with death, we can approach that with love or fear and hatred. So rather than being stuck and trapped in that fear and pain, we shift over to looking at something differently, seeing it differently, and behaving differently. Taking our so many of us, we're all born with a vision and a dream. So many of us forgot it. We got misdirected. Our parents didn't think we should be musicians or scientists or, you know, whatever whatever our natural God-given talents were. So some of us are, you know, got stuck in a career, or maybe we got stuck in a relationship for whatever reason. Maybe we don't like where we're living and we are afraid to make the changes or to improve. You don't necessarily have to change external circumstances, but to improve your internal circumstances surrounding that. I work with a lot of couples, and sometimes people say, oh, we just have to get a divorce. There's just been too much damage. And this might be true, but there might be another way and another solution as well. So we want to approach these things from love instead of the fear and the guilt and the anger. And I have witnessed people who have not had, you know, been married and not had a relationship for a long time reunite and rekindle because they come from love and forgiveness instead of fear.
Instead of fear, yeah. Well, it is. It's all in how we handle, because life's going to throw at you what it is. You're, like you said, betrayal, death, losing people we love, people hurting us, people betraying us, and it's all in how we handle the things that are thrown at us. And it's and we have control over our thoughts, even though sometimes it feels like we might not, right? But
well,
we really do.
Control over our thoughts. They're like a bingo machine, but we have.
Yeah.
Over how we respond to those thoughts.
There you go. That's a better way of saying it. Right. How we respond. That's true. That is true. Because if you're very angry at somebody, it's okay if you have a thought where you think like, oh man, I would just love to bop them over the head. But how responding to that, you wouldn't necessarily do that.
Yeah.
That's
and
very,
it's
very
normal
true.
To, you know, get those thoughts when a car pulls out in front of you, when someone doesn't treat you right in public,
when
a loved one doesn't come from an agreement or integrity. I mean, it's only normal, but how we receive that and what we do with that thought, I can act on it and get even or say something mean or put someone in their place, and which I do sometimes and I always regret it. But, you know, those are the opportunities to practice and say, you know, let me approach this differently, and I can just give you thousands of examples where I didn't like someone or I didn't like the way I thought they were treating me. And when I just offered the love, you know, if you be the love that you want, you will have it. That's one of the big chapters in the book of self-love. You know, we're trying to get things, but if you be what you're trying to get, you have it. And
you
so that works across the board, you know, on any relationship. So we can go out into the world and just be loving and kind. And even when someone else isn't, it doesn't matter. You know, that's an opportunity to share love instead of fear and anger.
Yes, that's so true. Can you touch on the seven paths a little bit for those that are listening? What are you referring to when you say the seven paths?
Well, we've covered the first one, which is the voice of love and listening to that voice instead of the voice of fear. And the voice of fear is pervasive. The voice of love has to be invited. The voice of fear is what is going on all the time and we don't even realize it. So we have to train ourselves to want to hear the voice of love and to be the love. So that's the first path. And then the second path is control. You know, we're always trying to control everything but ourselves. And so we're giving our power away when we do that. And what I really want the readers to understand is when you pull the reins back, you know, rather than galloping through life and trotting over everything and everyone, when you pull your own reins back, and you put all your energy into healing yourself and becoming a loving person, everything else falls into place. So rather than trying to control people, places, and things, I can control my own reaction and my own actions to those things. And that's just the pot of gold right there. The third path is trust. you know, we get hurt in life. And mm-hmm. and trust has to be on two levels. One, that I can trust, it's safe to trust other people. And when they show me that I can't trust them, I can address that with love. And if it doesn't work out, and after several attempts, you know, then I may decide that that's not an empowering relationship. But I'm always coming from love when I address those betrayals. And it doesn't always have to be head-on. Sometimes it does have to be a head-on conversation. Sometimes it can just be sharing another experience that was similar and the person will get it. But right. the main key in trust is that I trust that no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be okay because I'm going to come from love instead of fear.
I love that. I just want to say something about trust. And I heard this one time and it really like was like an aha moment when somebody says, well, what if I can't trust them? Or what if that I can't trust that person not to hurt me? And somebody said, you don't have to worry about trusting anybody else. If you trust yourself, then everything's going to be okay. Because even if that person betrays you, not that it's not going to hurt, you trust yourself enough to know that you're going to be okay. You can take care of yourself and you can draw a strong boundary. And if you have to say goodbye to that person, then that's what you have to do. But you trust that you'll take care of yourself. And I was like, oh, I totally get that now.
Yes. And it's not just that. It's of any relationship. Rejection is what we're afraid of because it hurts.
Yes.
Nothing hurts
yes.
worse than rejection. So whether it's getting rejected for a loan or a job or in a relationship or, you know, from a friend, it doesn't matter. It's uncomfortable. And in many cases, it hurts very deeply. But
yes.
we can embrace that and know that we're growing through those experiences and trust that we're going to be okay no matter what.
Yes, love that. Okay,
it's
so
okay
after
to make
trust.
Mistakes. You know,
yeah,
it's okay to make mistakes.
Right.
So the fourth path is forgiveness. And what I talk about in that chapter is that we think that we need to forgive other people, but the most important person we'll ever forgive is ourselves. Because at the root of every resentment towards someone else is this feeling, and I remember having it when I was 5 years old and I was being abused. What did I do to cause this to happen was my question. And fortunately, I got the voice of love, gave me an answer. It's not your fault. He is sick. And it was just
right.
freeing. I could have carried that around for my whole life. And I do have, you know, and things that happen, bad things that happen, I do have a role in that. And it's okay to look at it and face it. And sometimes I don't have a role. But at the heart of it, there is self-blame. So I can forgive myself no matter what. This was an experience. Some of it was just destined to happen. How can I turn that into good, and how can I use that to help other people? So that's where forgiveness is so important.
Yeah, forgiveness, that's a tough one. It is. A lot of people struggle with forgiveness. But it's. I like the way that you talk about it. You talk about forgiving yourself. That's the most important thing is forgiving
yourself. Yes, because
yourself.
That back to trust, you know, if we know that it's okay not to be perfect, it's okay to make mistakes, we're all going to make mistakes if we grow together and learn through them, whether we grow individually or we grow together and we learn, it's all a part of, I talk in the book about, you know, when they melt down gold, all the impurities come to the surface. I heard that in one of my spiritual experiences. I cannot tell you which one, but I heard it. It's not an original thought, but it's true. When we're in the cauldron and it's burning really badly, but those impurities are coming off, we can hold on to them, and then we suffer. But when we just allow ourselves to release to the pain and grow from it, those impurities will burn off.
Yeah.
So
that's
the fifth
so
path is respect. You know, no one's going to respect you more than you respect yourself. And so I talk about how, you know, how do we respect ourselves? And we respect ourselves when we are at integrity with ourselves and the world, and that we, and that comes in being your word. That goes across all lines of, you know, keeping commitments, whether they're personal, monetary, whatever the case may be. And we are responsible for how people treat us. And that doesn't mean that we punch someone in the nose just because they, you know, did something wrong to us. But we find our voice. I love when I'm working with people and they start finding their voice. They start having some respect for themselves. And rather than swallowing it and then medicating it in some fashion that isn't helpful, they learn to say something so simple as, this doesn't feel good to me. I don't like it. I love you, but I don't like what you're doing here. Can we come up with a solution that'll work with both of us? And, you know, it is calling someone out, but you have to be willing to be called out too. And people will respect you when you have that type of integrity in a relationship.
Agreed.
So the sixth path is abundance. You know, so many people don't recognize that there's so much available all the time to all of us. But if we're not using our natural talents, or if we're too afraid to break out of the molds that we're in our careers or in our lives or in our dependencies, then we're not manifesting that abundance. And so I give some really great little tools and metaphors in that chapter for how to do that. And then, of course, the seventh path is back to love, you know, self-love. One of the things I realized in my own process was that when I was told, you know, it's not me that doesn't love you, you don't love yourself, that really hit me between the eyes. I'm like, what does that even mean? I did not even really ever consider the thought before that I didn't love myself. And when I started thinking about it, I had no idea what that meant. So I talk in this chapter about what does it mean to love yourself? What does it look like? Because when you are treating yourself with love, you are treating others that way too, and your life will definitely change for the better.
I love that. I want to say something about the respect because, you know, when you start changing, if you're always a certain way with your family or your friends and you decide that you want to change some things, you want to draw some maybe personal boundaries, you don't always want to be the, you know, in the same role that you've always played because you're starting to learn how to love and respect yourself. It may make a lot of people that know you very uncomfortable because you're shifting and they don't like it. Because they like you in a role that they've had you in.
It triggers their fear. It triggers their fear of rejection, that if you change, you won't want them anymore. Yes.
Well, you may lose some people, too. Yes. And yes. I drew some strong boundaries with some friends, and one friend in particular, because I felt very taken advantage of and very disrespected. And she didn't like it and couldn't handle it. And I was honest with her, and we don't have a relationship anymore by her choice because she couldn't handle it. But I don't feel bad about it. I mean, there's a part of me that missed the friendship, especially when it first happened, the certain aspects of it. But I felt so good about standing up for myself and respecting myself that I am not suffering from any sort of guilt about what happened, you know, because I started to shift. I started to change. Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that that is a possibility, and you can't worry about how you're going to affect those around you. You have to worry about how it's affecting you, not how other people around you are going to handle it.
Well, that's true. At the same time, I think that we get jammed up and we have to set boundaries with people.
Yes.
And often we cannot find that voice of love. So I've had friends like that too who took advantage. And I remember when I was in therapy, I said, it seems like all my friends, you know, I do all the giving and they do all the taking. And my therapist said, well, you know, you're reenacting a relationship with one of your parents, which was true. And I wasn't doing all the giving, by the way. It just felt that way. But one of the things that became very clear is, you know, my voice of love said, who taught them how to treat you?
You did.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a much harder struggle. I cannot say, and I had a friend like this where she was often asking me for things that just I thought were really inappropriate. And too much. And I would do it and then resent it. And then
exactly.
You know, that kind of thing. So it was really a challenge for me to learn how to apply what I'm teaching and to be able to say, you know, I didn't even sometimes didn't even answer yes or no. I would just say, well, let's talk about other ways to get that to happen. Or, you know, I'm not comfortable with that right now. I can't right now. Rather than just no, and I'm tired of you taking advantage of me kind of thing. Or can you change this? You know, it's really interesting when we start off with, I love you and I wish I could help you. I love you so much. I wish I could. I just can't right now. Let's talk about some other ways. And it was amazing how in my head I was convinced that that they wanted something, and if I didn't give it to them, then it would be a problem. It has never been a problem when I've approached it from that place.
From that perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. So you talk about in your book, and you mentioned it, like you turning a mess into a miracle. So what do you mean by turning a mess into a miracle?
Well, no matter what's going on or how bad a situation seems, when you approach that situation and all the kinds of things we've been talking about, whether it's, you know, whatever the disaster is, no matter how minor or how major it is in reality, or it just feels that way, then we can take any situation, and when we approach it, even a car, let's say you have a car accident, it's normal for both people to get angry and want to blame each other, as opposed to, you know, taking personal responsibility. It's okay, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention, or, you know, so you stop too fast in front of me kind of conversation, and, you know, then you lead to a fight. You know, use it as an opportunity, like, are you okay? And you could possibly even make a new friend in that situation. It's not impossible. You know, every time you go to the post office, and rather than give me my mail, or what's taking so long, or at the grocery store, or the bank, you know, how come everybody doesn't have enough help? And la la la. People go into restaurants since COVID, and they're so annoyed that the service is so bad. And wait a minute, thank you for showing up to work. I know a lot of people are not back to work yet; they don't feel safer for whatever reason. You know, it's really nice that I can go out to dinner, even if I have to wait longer because people are going to work. I mean, there's just constant from the moment you wake up in the morning, even with yourself, to feel grateful and focus on that and then go out into the world and be that loving entity, be that loving person, and you will receive it back. And even if you don't, you still feel good because the person may not respond to you, the situation may not respond in a loving way, but you can trust that you are still the loving one, and that feels good.
Right, and it'll come back around some other way if it doesn't come directly from that person. That's how it works. Yeah, we don't have that much time, and I didn't get a chance because you are an addiction counselor. So how can the healing moment for those people who are listening who are suffering from some form of addiction, how can that help, this book help them?
Well, I would suggest I start off with my first book, Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution, but because this kind of material is in that book, and then this is more an advancement on that, because addiction is definitely in our mind, and that is an external problem as well, because things are made in such a way as to get us addicted. You know, pornography is designed to get people addicted, and I work with it all the time, and how addictive it is to people. Drugs, even alcohol, there doesn't need to be the alcohol content that there is in a drink. It could be less, but it's designed to give you that buzz. You know, we go for help for psychiatric problems, and we get put on medications that are almost impossible to get off of. You know, sugar is one of the worst addictions in the world, and it, you know, it's so refined now. And then with the, you know, the additives and all that, we know for sure that cigarettes had chemicals put in them to make. So, you know, I got addicted to most of these things over time, and switched from one to the next. And so it's important to understand that we don't have to live in that space. That is a big trap. And once we start seeing what's going on with all that, we can say, you know what? That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to get. I'm here to share and receive love. So concerning addiction, I'd say every addiction is a replacement for love. You think you love cigarettes. You think you love love. You think you love drinking. You think you love this and that and the other. But really what you love is the feeling that it gives you. But it's only momentary, and there's a price to pay. Once that momentary high wears off, then you suffer. And that same voice of fear that talked you into it, go ahead and do it. You deserve it. Will turn around and beat you up the minute you do it. So once people are on to how this works, it's very simple to stop. Because instead of doing that, you say, I don't want to, I'm not going to be a victim of this anymore. I'm not going to be a victim of anyone or anything anymore. I'm going to come from love, and I'm going to learn how to love myself. And every time I want to do something that's harmful to myself, I'm going to replace it with an activity that is loving for myself. And I list about 77 of those activities in the back of the book.
Oh, that's great. That's so wonderful. And I understand that because I used to smoke. I don't anymore.
Good.
And I know the feeling. Oh, my God, Donna, what an enlightening conversation. Thank you so much. You guys, check her out, www.drdonnamarks.com, and grab her book. Okay, everyone, thanks for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave. You're welcome. Wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.